Pig pen's next.
A bus driver in San Francisco. That was a couple of years ago. But all of them, and then Dave got busted and everything. It was, and the thing with the chateau was there was some chick named Kathy who used to always hang around there. And the standard answering procedure of the telephone at the chateau was you pick up the phone and say, chain three, Kathy ain't here. Click.
What's chain three?
There was three threes in a row in that phone number.
Oh, I see. 333-3333
or something like that. Oh, there were three threes in a row. I don't remember the number, but there were three threes in a row.
So Pigpen was very young at the time. The time the Grateful Dead started. Phil and Jerry knew each other. Indirectly. And the Chateau crowd were hanging around up in Palo Alto above what is now the Stanford Linear Accelerator. It was an old house run by an older guy that liked to play poker named Frank Ceratoni. He gave cheap room and board to a lot of people that came in and out of that scene. Pigpen and Jerry lived there for a while.
Jerry played for the first time in, Hunter and Kitty. Hunter lived there. Jerry lived there. Danny lived there. Who else lived there? Willie LeGate lived there.
Just a bunch of the people that we know, used to live there. And I used to just sort of...
Well, I never told you a story about, say, you used to come in on Saturday and say, I'm here, where's the drinks? And the cops came looking for her, and she got up in a tree and pretended she was an owl, and the cops didn't find her.
Give me a hint about your name. Sue Mayberry?
Yeah.
Mother Mayberry.
Yeah.
Blonde chicken, big tits.
I don't know.
Yeah, she used to be around a lot. And she'd come around. We had parties over in East Palo Alto all the time, over at Pogo's place and all that, and she'd be around.
Phil got into some mysterious trouble one time down there, and he came and asked me about what he should do. Some chick, I don't know, it was Donna Dowser. Well, it was some chick that was like underage, like she was
16. Yes, that was Donna Dowser.
And her dad owned an ice cream store, or a soda fountain, or a drive-in. And Phil used to take her there or something like that.
And her father said,
Father said, who's that? And I don't know, it was some weird thing. But anyway, the next day, Phil had the police after him. And he came to my house. And now, this is very few people know this. But he came to my house on the lam, like on the run, There was a warrant out for him,
Get off that cord there, Calhoun.
Calhoun, you want to shock your seats?
No, he's not going to shock himself. He's just going to rip the cord out the back of this. No, I made it. That was during the Boar's Head days.
Rod Albin and the Boar's Head, San Mateo.
Right.
Okay.
With George the Beast.
George the Beast? What was his last name?
Howell.
H-O-W-E-L-L?
I don't know how to spell it. Just George Howell.
Okay, well, I think George Howell was later responsible for getting together the Charlatans, right? Wasn't he the same George that lived with Janice over on Page Street? Not 1090 Page, but another place on Page Street.
No, that was George Hunter.
George Hunter.
Right.
Well, he got into the show. It's George Hunter. It was actually
one of the instigating members of the whole group.
But he actually couldn't play a note. They told me.
George Hunter?
Originally.
He could play.
Could he?
Yeah, it wasn't... No, but George Howell... This was a long time ago.
George Howell and Rod Albin.
This was when...
At the Boar's Head.
John Winter.
Yeah.
Me and him have the same birthday. September 8th.
1940 what?
I'm 45 and he's 42, I think.
Well, he's older than me.
Yeah, he's a couple, 3 years older than me.
That's really interesting.
John the Cool.
John the Cool, yeah, but you see, he was like, when Phil and I first met him, he was at Primrose Bookshop. He let us steal books out of there, right? He was only 17 and we were 19 and we were big shit. He's a little punk, It was really weird.
You sure you're not talking about Mike? His little brother.
No, Mike Winter I met later. Mm. During the Warlocks days, I met Mike Winter.
Right, at the in-room.
This was much earlier. John Winter used to sell books, used to be a clerk, used to have a big black Pontiac or something like that, like a six-wheeler. And of course, Danny sold the film for $50. And it never ran. And, oh, it was really an elaborate trip. This was 59, 60. Now, it's weird that we never met before that, you know, because, oh, I guess it's because I was some kind of a snob and I never wanted to go down there. I went down to a party at Perry Lane at Homer Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Homer Lane was really where the action was. The Perry Lane is where the older guys lived.
Like, right, what was Roy's, the guy's name who had the goatee and looked kind of a satanic...
Roy Siebert.
No, not Roy. I'm not talking about Roy.
Paige Browning.
No, not Paige. I know all them guys. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about another guy who used to live next door, a couple of doors up on Perry Lane from Kesey when he was living there.
Did you ever go over there and visit?
To Kesey? Yeah, that was when Roy Seagrin was living in the barn.
Right.
Well, not the barn, the garage, I mean.
Yeah.
No, in front, right next door. There was a guy up the street whose name I can't remember, but he looked like a kind of a satanic looking cat. And he was older and he had like a goatee and it was sort of, he had a little gray in it. And he was like a professional student at Stanford or something. Yeah.
That's where they all lived, up at Homer Lane.
Really? Yeah, Perry Lane was really fun. It was a good trip. And Roy Seaborn used to make up some kind of wine. He'd take some kind of white wine and put grape juice in it. It wasn't shake 'em ups like WPLJ or anything.
No.
It was some other kind of stuff that he used to concoct.
Yeah.
And it was pretty weird. Me and Lockie would just go up there, bring a guitar, just sit around. You know, Kesey's house a couple times was like just right. You didn't even have to go across the street. It was just...
That's the first time in my life I ever saw... It was in the same lot almost, you know. That's the first time I ever saw anybody laid out on marijuana and booze. I mean, passed out.
Who's that?
Some chick. I don't know. I went up to... Phil took me up to a party up there one night, you know. And they kept saying, well, who's here? Well, some guy's writing a book. I said, oh, what's the name of his book? And they said something about a cuckoo. And I laughed.
Right.
I thought that was
very
funny.
Yeah, right. You know. It was during that time, you know, that I met Kesey and, you know, all that. And Tom, he's married to Arne Galvin's sister.
I don't think I need that information.
Anyway,
it's on the tape video.
Anyway. First time I went to Kesey's house, I don't think Tom and Sue were married yet. And they were just sort of off and on. And Sue is a fox. And she was dancing. Everybody drinking wine and dancing and carrying on. Never Sue.
What do you want?
Oh, I don't know if she was drunk or... She just danced, you know. Everybody, Kesey was there, man, and Roy was there, and me and Novakovich, and who knows who else. Paul Mitty, I think, was hanging around. You know, all the old school guys. And, I just had a flash because she looked really good when she was dancing. And then... Tom and Sue and Arne lived over on Manalto in Malapora, just a few blocks from Troy Wagner. You know Troy?
Yeah, I sure know Troy.
Just a little ways from there.
I never went to his house, but I know he ran Dan Morgan's for a while. Was working.
Oh, I worked here. I worked in a band with him.
Troy?
Yeah.
What band?
Zodiac.
You had a band called Zodiac? That's a little known fact. Tell me about that.
Oh, well, Troy was like lead.
This was a couple years before the Warlocks, though.
Yeah. It was when I was like 17. You know, 16, 17.
You were doing singles in coffee houses mostly, right? By yourself?
Well, in the Zodiacs, we were playing beer drinking Stanford fraternity parties.
Oh, yeah?
And Troy played like lead guitar. His old lady, Sherry, played rhythm guitar. Jerry would occasionally play bass.
Garcia?
Yeah.
Really? Like string bass, stand-up bass?
Electric bass.
Electric bass, is that right?
And Ron Ogborn would play bass occasionally. Or either drums, he'd double on bass and drums. And I'd sing and play harmonica.
Now, this was before?
Before, way before the Warhols.
Oh, I know that, but this was before Offstage?
Before the Offstage.
Yeah, and the Tangent.
Yeah.
Before that, a year before that, even, maybe.
Like sure, because that was like...
19, you were 17, what year was that?
I don't know, give me a slide rule.
You were born in 1945. Five.
During that whole Offstage Tangent period, it was sort of an amorphous trip because we were playing during the Chateau period.
Yeah, it was all the same thing.
During the Chateau period, right. And the Zodiacs, you know, we were playing then. And then after that, after the Zodiacs, we started into the Jug Band.
Mother Decrees.
Right.
Uptown. Now, what was the Asphalt Jungle Boys?
The Asphalt Jungle.
There was something about Asphalt Jungle something, rather than it was a band that you weren't in, I think.
It was an offshoot of all of our friends, you know.
Matthews and Marmaduke and all those kids.
Right, just a bunch of guys.
Yeah, okay.
As far as I know. And so anyhow, we used to play gigs like Stanford fraternity parties, right? Yeah. They'd rent a place like up at Searsville Lake. They'd rent the men's dressing room. It was just a big,
huge
stone room, you know, with benches on the sides, you know, and all showers and
pissers and stuff. Like it.
And so me and Troy and Sherry and Ogborn and maybe Jerry or what was that guy's name? It was another guy who played bass occasionally. It was sort of like mostly me and Troy and Sherry. And
did Dana Morgan play in those days?
No. And, no, he started after we started practicing at his store. But that was after the Warlock, I mean, after the Zodiacs. And, so it was mostly me, Troy, and Sherry. And Ogborn either played bass and drums, and there was this other guy who would play bass sometimes, and occasionally Jerry played bass.
Would Jerry play guitar then in those days?
Not with the Zodiacs. He played bass occasionally.
Was he playing the guitar at the time, though?
Oh, he'd been playing guitar, you know, years before that.
This was before he met Sarah, though, right?
Oh, yeah, years before that.
Yeah, okay, 62.
And so, we got these guys, these three black guys. This guy, Don DeGreat. That was his last name, DeGreat.
Don the Great.
DeGreat.
Yeah.
Anyway. And he had a couple of cats with him, and we'd play for house parties and stuff, and they'd sing and do like little like coaster kind of trips,
mm-hmm.
You know. And he was the lead singer.
R&B.
Yeah. And then decided to change the name to Dr. Don and the Interns. And so, you know, we were working with them off and on for a while. We used to play a couple. We played a setup club though, by. Playland, and we played mostly house parties, you know, college house parties.
Well, a setup club by Playland, that wouldn't have been the,
It was an upstairs place.
Not the Family Dollar.
No. But it was an upstairs place. It was a little south of the Family Dollar. So we did that, and we backed up Don and everything. They do coasters, routines, and...
Robert's on the Beach.
Robert's?
Robert's on the Beach is the name of the place.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
I think it's Robert's on the Beach.
But it's an upstairs setup club.
Well, when did you first go up to the Heat Estuary?
Well, what sort of started out was when the Grateful Dead happened. You know, sort of got together, and we decided it was going to be the Grateful Dead.
That was later. That was 65. Late 65.
That was later.
Early 66.
So me and Bill had a house on, I think, Pope Street in Menlo Park. Yeah. And
he had an apartment on the freeway.
Yeah, but this was a little bit later.
Later than that?
Yeah, the apartment on the freeway was when we were playing at the In Room.
Right, right.
Okay, he got a house.
Yeah.
Then we decided, well, you know, what the fuck, let's move to LA. So we went to LA. And I moved out of my parents' house and
we had an acid test out in LA.
Yeah. It was when we got hung up with the acid test and started, you know. moving around and doing stuff instead of being like stationary.
Yeah.
And non-geographically productive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so me and Bill made a couple of runs between LA and the Bay Area, you know, to bring his stuff down. We all got a mattress and everything. We moved into the place in LA. Started trying to promote our own dances and that kind of stuff. Much worked our heads at the cops ordered us to take down the posters off the telephone poles we nailed them to.
Oh, well, this was Danny and Rock kind of thing?
Yeah, right during that period.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was later, yeah.
That was the formative part of the Danny and Rock scene.
Okay.
And, you know, what happened from there, you know.
Well, see, I knew Danny and Rock at San Francisco State, and many times I came in there with pictures of the Warlocks, but Danny and Rock would be sitting around looking at them. Didn't even know you guys. So like that whole thing, see, that's not what the book's about. Mm-hmm. Right, at this point, I'm writing the book in two halves. I'm gonna write the 64 to 66 scene after I get the 60 to 63 scene straightened out, because the really formative period, the whereabouts of everybody, okay. Bert Chiarito's Midnight Special, right. That was the name of it.
That was the one. All right, and me and Jerry, I played harmonica and Jerry played guitar.
Is that the one that Phil did the engineering on for?
I don't know if he did it or not.
Well, here's Phil's story. He came down there, he saw Jerry play, and he immediately went out, and he had Tom Conn stand with him. And then he went out to the guitar, to the car, and Tom got out this big old, I think he still has it, that big tape recorder that he's got, you know. And they recorded Jerry right then and there, and he took the tapes over to Gert, and Gert dug him. And next week, Jerry was on the show, and then the week after that, you and Jerry, I think, so it all went down.
Yeah, because Jerry wanted me to play harp, you know.
Right.
You know, I just showed up, and let's play a little stuff.
Yeah.